The gospel reading is found in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's house, the works that I do in my Father's name, testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Our scripture readings and our music on this fourth Sunday of Easter speak of God as a shepherd to us. Now, most of us are far removed from the vocation of shepherding that was so common in biblical times. Even though Central Park in New York City has a sheep meadow, I doubt whether there are any sheep or shepherds there. And yet this pastoral imagery of the Good Shepherd is an enduring one for us, even as for us urbanites. The shepherd metaphor has often been expressed in art and in music and in the liturgy of the church. Our two choir anthems this morning were based on Psalm 23. But in many other scripture passages too, in both the Old and the New Testaments, God is like a shepherd. God led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt like a shepherd leads his flock. David, the shepherd boy, became one of Israel's greatest kings. Ezekiel, the prophet, contrasted God's faithful shepherding with some of Israel's leaders who acted like shepherds who didn't care what happened to the sheep. God promised, "I will seek the lost and bring back the strayed and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." In the New Testament, you're probably familiar with Jesus' parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus compared himself to the shepherd who goes out to find the one lost sheep, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And last Sunday we read the resurrection account in John's gospel where Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep." In the modern church, when a minister is ordained or installed in a new pastorate, there is included in the language of the installation liturgy an exhortation from the first letter of Peter: "Be attentive to the flock given to your care by the Holy Spirit. Love Christ. Feed the lambs, tend the sheep." In today's gospel reading, some people in the temple questioned whether or not Jesus was the promised Messiah. Now, this was an ongoing controversy among the people because Jesus did not fit their description of the Messiah that they were expecting. They thought of a powerful king or a mighty warrior who would drive out their enemies and reestablish the nation of Israel. But Jesus described himself as a shepherd. Who needs a shepherd if you want to defeat your enemies? And I can imagine that those who heard Jesus didn't like his reference to them as dumb sheep that simply follow. But let's think about that image of the good shepherd for a moment. What is the characteristic of a good shepherd? A good shepherd cares for the sheep. No one gets snatched. No one is lost or forgotten. Or to put this in a larger perspective, God could have left us human beings on earth to fend for himself, for ourselves, like sheep without a shepherd. But how long would we have survived on our own? God came to earth to be our shepherd. He led us to green pastures and still waters. He loved us in a most extraordinary way by laying down his life for us. This shepherd knows each of us by name. No matter how far we stray, the shepherd will find us and bring us home. In an issue of National Geographic some years ago, there was an article about a sheep herding people in India called the Rabari. While each shepherd had his own flock during the day, at night, all the shepherds and flocks gathered in one place, and the shepherds would take turn keeping watch over this large flock. There were perhaps as many as 5,000 sheep and dozens of shepherds gathered in a single flock at night. But in the morning, each shepherd would call out his own sheep. They would recognize his voice and they would follow. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The image of the shepherd and the sheep is about the relationship of trust that we have with God. And what should be our response to this shepherd's love and care? Well, Christ invites us to care for others as he cares for us. The metaphor changes a bit. He says to us, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep." We heard about this kind of caring in today's reading from Acts chapter 9 about Tabitha, her Aramaic name, or Dorcas, her Greek name. She was the first woman disciple, as far as I know, in the Bible, the first time a woman is referred to as a disciple. She is described as one devoted to good works and acts of charity. Her name, Tabitha, means gazelle, which perhaps matched her lifestyle of being lightning fast and responding to anyone's needs, helping the poor, ministering to those who were vulnerable in her community. Reading the story, you can almost see her in action day after day, looking after others in need, bringing meals to the hungry and sewing clothes for the needy and visiting the sick. Thank God most congregations have a Tabitha or two, people who have a passion for caring for others. She undoubtedly was on her church's mission committee. And then Tabitha died after what appeared to be a very brief illness. Her work was done. People were probably asking why, of all people, God would call Tabitha to her heavenly home when she was doing so much good work on earth. What were they to do? They called the disciple Peter, who probably by this time had a reputation for being a shepherd in the church. The text doesn't say what they expected Peter to do, perhaps not much more than to console them and comfort them and honor the work that Tabitha had done in the church. Those who gathered at her wake passed around some of the garments she had sewn, the sweaters she had knitted. Probably everyone weeping at her casket had a story to tell about how Tabitha touched their lives. But it's here in the story that something very unusual happened. People died all the time, of course, in the early church. Being a disciple did not keep anyone from illness or death. It's true that the early church leaders proclaimed the power of Christ's resurrection, but they also preached funeral sermons. Peter could just as well have officiated at Tabitha's funeral service. But for some reason, in this instance, he decided to take some bolder action. He put everyone out of the room where Tabitha's body was lying, and he knelt down to pray. He turned to her lifeless body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, sat up, and Peter helped her get on her feet. Have you ever heard of such a fast recovery? I admit it's a strange story. As you might expect, Tabitha became the talk of the town and regions far beyond. Why was Tabitha, of all people, raised from the dead? She was not an eloquent preacher or missionary in the church like Peter or Paul. She did not hold an important office in the church. As far as we know, she wasn't a big financial giver. She was probably a poor widow. But what she did was care for other people. Throughout the scriptures, God has a special compassion for the least, the last, the lost, the lonely. And so equally near to the heart of God are those who make it their ministry to reach out to the destitute, as Tabitha did. She made clothing for the poor. She prepared meals for the shut-ins and listened to the heartbreaks of the people in Joppa. Now, as far as we know, Tabitha's resurrection wasn't permanent. Eventually, Tabitha died and was buried in the usual way like everyone else. But I'm wondering whether this amazing, singular act happened as a sign to the church that after Easter, a lot of mysterious and new things would be possible. Perhaps the church needed something dramatic to demonstrate that the resurrection was something that not only happened to Jesus after he was crucified and was buried, but that the power of the resurrection would continue in the church among the believers. As God overcame evil and defeated death in the lives of those who did the work of Jesus. The world after Easter was not the same as the world before Easter. There was a power that was let loose in the world, a power greater than death. And here we see it demonstrated in this little town of Joppa in the work of the widow Tabitha. John Masefield wrote a book years ago entitled The Trial of Jesus, based on the story of the centurion in command of the soldiers at Jesus' crucifixion. Some of the gospel writers refer to this commanding officer who looked up at Jesus on the cross and said, "This surely is the Son of God." In Masefield's novel, the centurion returned from Calvary of the crucifixion with his troops to report the day's events to the governor, Pontius Pilate. including the crucifixion of Jesus, which seemed unlike any other. And when this centurion finished his report, the wife of Pilate, who overheard his report, begs to hear more. She asks, "Do you think he's really dead now? Is he really dead and gone?" And the centurion replies, "No, ma'am." She asks, "Then where is he?" The centurion replies, "He's let loose in the world where neither Roman nor Jew will ever stop the truth." And so we trust that the work of the church goes on today because of God's power over evil and death. It gives us new hope and strength. And yes, we will continue to experience suffering and sickness. The powers of evil are still out there in the world. There will be death and sorrow. But we have hope because Christ is risen. There will be death and sorrow, but Christ is risen. Christ is the good shepherd who cares for us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil because our shepherd God is with us. God cares for his flock. He calls us by name, no matter how far we stray. This shepherd will track us down and bring us home. And let us also remember to return the good shepherd's love. And we can do that, like Tabitha, who was a sign of the resurrection in her church and her community. Let us care for one another as this good shepherd cares for us. Let us make the world a sheep meadow with green pastures and still waters. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.